theoretically possible.
Why waste time?
But it doesn't make any sense.
Discovery Houston, press to ATO.
3, 2, 1.
Hello, planet Earth. Man, we get some weird futuristic conversations going on this podcast, and I think that this one is definitely, it's way out there, but I actually think that it will demonstrate that we're not absolutely crazy.
Well, I don't think we're absolutely crazy, but I think that there are some ideas where it's like, wow, that's an idea,
yeah.
But I can't believe you're actually doing that. Are people really paying for that? You know?
Sometimes they are, like, and we love thinking about the future. I think that we can confidently say, and I think a lot of our listeners acknowledge, we often are thinking about the future than the present and even than the past. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would probably say so. I mean, we lean into the future, I would say, more so than anything else. I think that we have a pretty healthy balance, honestly, of the past, present, and future.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say our attitude, like, we have a whole podcast about, like, the future is an
choice.
Attitude.
Oh, it's an attitude, yeah.
And we have the attitude of, yep, we're going futuristic here.
Yeah.
So, and especially we've been embracing a lot of things that obviously will contribute towards the future, maybe not necessarily the present, but we really have been embracing a lot of things, including, you know, blockchain technology and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, I think when we're like, for who we are, we're very entrepreneurial in the way of wanting to do something creative and innovative, not just something that is replicating what currently exists and perhaps doing a slight upgrade to it or doing a little shift to it. I want to be a part of the movement that's going to be a game changer. I mean, if our role on planet Earth is to make a dent in it, then that's going to require us to be thinking way out of the box.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, we go way far out there sometimes, and we realize it's almost like we kind of want to push ourselves to go way out there to see how far it can go.
Yeah.
Because some people are already out there, you know, like, and so today what we're going to talk about is basically the concept. We had this idea, right? We started talking about NFTs. We've had a lot of conversations about NFTs and the, you know, non-fungible tokens and whatnot. And, you know, a lot of the applications with NFTs in the early days and still today and the potential future of it is basically bringing certain items into games, right? So that could be like a sword or, you know, a hat or wearables
shoes,
or like shoes or whatever, like to your avatar, to whatever game that you love playing the most and that you own it, that you can actually bring it across platforms and it doesn't matter what you're using, whether it's like Xbox or PlayStation or whatever, and whatever game you can actually continue. Now that doesn't exist yet, but that's something that is like
it's
a vision
built.
For the future.
Yeah. I would say it's being built.
It is.
And they're using cryptocurrency to provide a way of actually having financial exchanges for these types of virtual goods.
Yeah.
But it hasn't reached its potential. It hasn't even got close to it. I do, and I don't even think the majority of people are doing it in VR. They're kind of doing it on their computers.
Yeah, they are.
And I think that we're going to see some major shifts with it.
Yeah.
But we were recently introduced, or we were kind of like learning about this whole world, and you stumbled upon this company that is so wild. I'm excited for how this conversation is going to go.
Yeah. So we really, how I found this, I mean, I won't go into the details of it, but essentially we were trying to figure out, okay, so what are wearables going to be like in this digital world?
Yeah,
you know, like really trying to think about like, and how does that really even apply to the real world versus the, you know, digital world? Can those two kind of be one and the same? And can you record that on the blockchain? So we're looking at clothing and wearables, right?
Yeah.
Retail items that we would wear if we had an avatar, and then maybe in the real world, we could also wear that. So I found this company, right? And I was like, oh, okay, this is actually very interesting off the bat, where they're kind of saying, yeah, basically, you know, we're trying to become the most sustainable clothing company in the world. And I was like, whoa, that's interesting and cool, especially because, you know.
That's a very strong statement.
It's a hugely strong statement.
So, because if you just take that statement alone, I think a lot of people think, oh, they're using materials, maybe like garbage materials, and recycling them into some other new physical product.
Right.
I mean, I think that when people hear that, they're like, oh, cool. you know, they're taking the scrap of the shoes and making a whole new shoe out of it. You know?
Like recycling what's already been out, what was already been used. And so that it's not like we're not burnt, you know, utilizing resources to create new things. We're already, you know, recycling essentially.
100%. I think that's what most people think of when they think of the most sustainable clothing company in the world.
But when I saw their website, I mean, when I found them through the route of really looking into NFTs and blockchain technology and whatnot. So I was like, okay, this... how is this digital, but also kind of in the real world? And so after looking at it, and I sent it to John, oh my gosh. Okay, so here's what they do. And this is super, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, okay, business plan competition, super cool, good concept. Who the hell would actually pay for that? Whoa, I don't know. So this is what the idea was. And this is, they're doing this, okay? This is already out there. So basically someone makes the company makes an item of clothing, right? They put it on the store, similar to like, okay, I'm going to like a Shopify store and I want to buy this shirt, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's $30.
Yeah.
I pay the $30.
Yeah.
With that $30, I submit a photo of myself that I would like that item to be worn on, to kind of like try on. So I initially thought like, okay, you're just trying it on. That's kind of cool.
And $30 is an accurate price too. Like, we're not making up that price. This is literally an item that is being sold
on their store for $30. $30. Okay. And I submit, after I purchase it, I have to submit to their team this photo that I want, you know, the shirt on. And so I thought it was like, okay, you're just going to try it on to see if it actually looks good or not. But that's weird that you would do it after you purchase it.
Right.
Come to find out, the reason why I have to submit a photo, one photo, is that the team will then, in the next week, take your photo and Photoshop that piece of clothing onto you in that photo for you to share digitally on social media.
Yep.
So you pay $30 for someone to Photoshop a piece of clothing on your body on a photo that you've already taken of yourself.
Yes. And I think one thing that we should clarify is, this item is not necessarily a real physical item.
Yeah.
This could be an item that they created online using software, using Photoshop, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And they're saying, okay, here's this digital sweatshirt. People can buy this on our website. And what they will receive is, after they send their photo of them, they will receive that photo back with them wearing that item, whether it's a dress, a sweatshirt, a hat, and they're... I'm assuming they're pretty good Adobe artists or whatever.
Well, they just need to Photoshop. Yeah,
And they will make it look as though you're actually wearing it in that moment of that photo being taken.
Yeah. Now, this is, to clarify, this is a photo. This is not a video. This is not a three-dimensional anything. This is a 2D photo, time.
Yep. And this is, the company's called Dress X.
Well, it's pretty damn sustainable. It's pretty sustainable if you ask me.
It's damn sustainable, but what the heck, though?
There's literally no clothing being exchanged.
Nothing.
The clothing is digital.
Yeah, the clothing isn't even manufactured if it's really sustainable, right?
Exactly. And you're just Photoshopping it onto, or they are doing the service of creating the item that you want digitally and then Photoshopping it onto a photo that you can then share online. So, okay, who would actually buy this stuff?
I don't know. Not me. I can tell you that loud and clear. Jonathan Button is not buying virtual clothing to put on his photos of himself, making himself look like he's wearing something that he's not.
Yeah. Like, how wild is that? I mean, maybe some people, I could imagine maybe some fashion influencers, like I don't know. But like, to me, I actually couldn't believe this exists. This does exist. And the link is in the description if you want to check it out. It is sustainable. It's definitely not what I was looking for in terms of, like, you know, trying to understand like property rights of, because you actually have no property right to that article of clothing.
You're not really getting it. You're not receiving any sense of that virtual item. You're literally paying. Like, if another way they can market it is, pay to have someone Adobe Photoshop your image to put on a different item on your body.
That's it. I mean, like, that's what they're doing.
Something like it's not a clothing company. I mean, obviously, I feel like listeners are definitely getting my vibe of this company. I think, is it innovative? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any arguing about that.
For sure.
Is it something that John's going to invest his money into? No way, Jose. Is it the most sustainable clothing company in the world? I would argue it's not a clothing company. That's my thoughts on it.
Yeah, I think it's a photoshopping service, honestly. And mm-hmm. I think that the people who would actually do this, I mean, okay, first of all, you must have a lot of money to just spend $30 on someone to Photoshop you something.
Right.
Second of all, you have to be taking a lot of photos of yourself. So there's like some vanity involved. So maybe. Something like, but like, why would you want a single photo of a piece of clothing for yourself? You would only do that if you were sharing it online to make money expensive. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't. It if they are a successful business, which I have not gone into their analytics to try to figure out how many viewers they're getting and how many actual transactions they're making every month. If they are successfully growing, that's a little bit of a sad world, in my honest opinion. Like, well, come on.
Well, okay, that's one perspective. Now, I'm going to challenge that perspective.
Yes, devil's advocate.
I'm going to challenge it because think about the world of NFTs. Even though this has nothing really to do, like their business model doesn't really have to anything to do with NFTs or the blockchain at all. Yep, just remember that.
Okay.
Now, when it comes to wearables and games, though.
Okay.
Like, that's something that you would be able to, like, you own that wearable, right? Yeah. You own it. That's something you can take on.
You could sell it to someone else.
You could sell it to someone else.
Et cetera, yes.
But that requires multiple people being in the multiverse, right? In the digital universe and wanting to actually maybe wear that in certain contextual situations. I don't know when that is.
I get that.
And so what they're doing is they're actually applying that mentality, right?
Okay, I'm listening.
To the real world. So, I mean, how much is a photo worth? Like, say you've got a million, you know, subscribers or whatever.
Right, yeah.
And you take one photo, and that's the photo that you had them Photoshop clothes onto you.
Yeah, it's not like you can put that outfit on multiple photos. I mean, if you're doing it on multiple photos, then you're buying the item multiple times. Does that make sense? It's a service. Yes. It's not a product-based business.
Yes.
Marketed as a product.
I agree with that. I'm just saying all you got to do is twist it slightly and then it makes sense. I think right now they're not seeing the big picture of like, what are you doing? You're just offering a Photoshop service. If you are actually able to make that piece of clothing into an NFT and you said there's only 10 of these, so only 10 people will ever be seen wearing this.
Mm-hmm.
That's different. You just put some sort of sense of like rarity in there, right? Mm-hmm. That there's a limit to it. But right now, you'd have to pay $30 for two photos. So you'd have to pay for it twice, right? Because you don't actually own that article of clothing.
I see what you're saying. And I would say that this is a very different business that I do think a lot of people, like a lot of our wonderful friends that are listening, are going to think this is comparable to the non-fungible token of acquiring virtual reality clothing for Decentraland or whatever platform they're using. But this is so different because this business DressX could add the rarity to it. All they gotta do is say, there's only 10 of this item and it's $30. So now you can be one of 10 people, which means that there's only 10 photos of people wearing this one of a kind piece of virtual, not even virtual, it's digital drawing of a sweatshirt that you can put on your body.
Well, I think that what it does, and the reason why I was challenging your perspective on it really was basically to kind of show how important the blockchain actually is in this world.
Yeah.
Because even if they said, hey, there's only going to be 10 of these, you can only buy a maximum of 10 each time. There's no immutable blockchain, open source, public ledger to prove that they're only ever going to make 10. Like
they're
a private company.
Good point
too. I have no idea if you actually did only make 10. And so like, that's where I think when it comes to NFTs and where people are like, why can't someone just make a whole bunch more?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a public ledger to keep everyone accountable to what they actually say. Right.
Okay.
And so I think in terms of like the blockchain with clothing, it absolutely, once you mint something and you say there's only going to be this amount, you better not mess that up.
Right.
Right. Because everyone's going to be able to check the records and see whether or not you did that.
Yeah. I would say that company DressX is a service company. Would you agree?
Yes, I agree.
If there's another company, and I'm making one up in my head, but I know that these exist. If you went into Decentraland and they had, you know, a hat shop in the virtual reality world, and you can buy one and it's attached to a non-fungible token that you have ownership of, and they say, you know, there's one of 10 of these, Is that a service-based company or is that a product-based company? I'm going product.
I think so too.
Because it's a non-fungible token. It now, because of that, you have property rights of those items.
That's the key. I think the property rights is the key, and there's accountability with the property rights, because you can't mess with people's property rights. Mm-hmm. Like, if you start doing that, your company's going to fail because it's going to be immediately understood and known by the community.
Right.
That this, I bought this for this, saying that there was only 10 of these and they minted 20 more, like without telling us ever. So obviously... I want, you know, and there's record of that. And that's like a really beautiful aspect of you know, the blockchain
in
general.
So with DressX, I don't think you at all have any sense of ownership of the clothing that you're purchasing, right? The only thing you have ownership of is the newly edited photo. But you provided that and they just made some edits to it. I don't really view that, like, that to me isn't the transaction of you're getting something, like, it's so weird to me. It just doesn't make sense.
I just don't know who's buying it. I would be very curious to meet some individuals who actually use this service and ask them why. Like,
it's so expensive.
Well, I mean, okay, I think that, like, you know, think about, like, Louis Vuitton and, like, was it Virgil Abloh?
Yeah.
He, like, if he comes out, you know, with a fashion show, you know, during Paris Fashion Week, that's really kind of considered haute couture. Sometimes it will actually go into the mass market, but regardless, like, that what's on the runway is very, very limited. And it's usually, like, kind of one or, like, one of five basically. And you'd have to tailor it to whoever bought it. And that's the highest priced item you could get. Like, that's haute couture is, like, in the fashion world, that it is the highest level of rarity and expense and, like, tailoring. It was really just supposed to be
pretty much the only things we wear.
Yeah, basically. But why I bring that up is because, like, why couldn't Virgil Abloh offer that service to individuals?
Well, not now they can look like they were wearing it in a photo.
Yeah. See, companies could start doing that. But, like, my big question is, like, who cares? Like, who cares in the real world if you don't actually ever own it? Like, I feel like the translation of using a real world photo of you and having the clothing put on you in an editing software, it's missing the mark big time. Like, it's like we're gonna leapfrog over that so quickly in the digital world. It's ridiculous because I'm not buying that for a photo of me that I could never actually wear in real life. If someone said, hey, where's that one jacket that you were wearing in that photo? I loved it. Oh, I don't actually own it. It's in the digital world. So you don't own it at all? You don't even own it in the digital format? Nope, I don't own anything. I literally just add them.
I own the photo that they edited.
That's about it.
Well, to me, it kind of goes back to the discussion of, like, that we often have on this podcast is authenticity. And because this piece is fully photoshopped, and there's, like, some feeds on, like, Reddit where it's like Photoshop magic, and they show what the image of the person was before they did all their edits to it and then after, and it's, like, really disappointing. You're like, oh my gosh, like, everyone's all about this celebrity thinking they're the hottest thing, and the reality is they take the time to perfect it because it's going to get more likes.
Yeah.
And this business is thriving based on that idea of, well, like, let's pretend it went, like, the Louis Vuitton haute couture clothing. Dude, you don't actually own it in real life. You didn't actually physically put it on you. Why are we going to pretend like you wore it, like you own it, like it's all fake? And I think, like, the worst part about it is, I don't know the quality of these Photoshop editors that are paid to put these virtual images of clothing onto someone, but... Dude, when someone sees that, and I know that, you know, if you zoom in on these images, someone's going to be able to call them out, like, dude,
oh yeah,
that's super fake. I mean, you can't perfect, because they're allowing you to pick whichever photo, and some of the photos, man, just imagine if your arms were in, like, a weird position, how difficult it would be to get the sweater to be in the exact position to make it look like you're wearing it. Like, dude, people will call you out. And then you're going to look so stupid. I mean, that's my whole thought on it.
Well, I think that the lack of authenticity is a really good point. And I think that really what you just said really speaks to, I think, our own mentality and how much, honestly, if you're in the blockchain world, the big phrase is not your keys, not your coins.
Yeah.
And it's super important to take responsibility for your own shit, basically, right? And so ownership is key in this world, okay? Ownership is truly key. It's not giving it up to some centralized company. It's not giving it up to, you know, the government to like figure it out for you. It's literally about self-sovereignty and taking responsibility and having ownership. I mean, really, right. Like who has the power in this world? It's the people who own shit, right? Mm-hmm. So that speaks to that. I would say what's interesting is that this has existed a long time. And I would say this kind of goes back to my modeling days where celebrities, I'm not saying I was a celebrity by any means, but it, definitely in the modeling world and in the celebrity world, like if you're going to the Academy Awards, for example, mm-hmm. the dresses that these people wear or the suits that they wear, they don't own them.
Yeah,
they're not given to them. They wear jewelry, they wear dresses, they wear these, all these different things for a one-time event mm-hmm. that's super important to be photographed and filmed by all these paparazzi and news outlet media or whatever.
Right.
That's kind of what this service is offering to the everyday person.
And that's an interesting angle. But I don't know, like to me, like let's think about this. If the individual who's watching the fashion show where all the celebrities are wearing these clothing or they're watching the Oscars, if they acknowledge that, you know, they don't ask them like, oh, where did you get this from? Or like they more ask them like, oh, who are you wearing? And yeah. that's kind of implying like they're being very honest. And I don't know. I think a lot of people know that or can find that out that they don't own those items. Mm. But I wouldn't say that's inauthentic because it's kind of out there. I don't think that, I don't know, maybe it's just because we have that knowledge that they don't own it that I'm like, okay, so it's I don't feel like they're pretending that they own it. Are they? Because if they are pretending that they own it, then it's inauthentic. And I feel like the whole dress X is pretending that you own it. Do you own it? You don't own it. You literally own a picture of you wearing a,
yeah.
that has been heavily photoshopped. You own that picture. Congratulations. Yeah. But you right. don't own it. And I think the image itself is implying that you even wore it. Like, it's not even like you own it. It's like, it's implying that you actually had the chance to wear it. You didn't even wear it.
Yeah, but some people would say like, yeah, if I could just get a chance to wear and take some photos of me and some Yeezys I could never actually afford it, that would be awesome. And then I'll just give them back. Like, okay, people,
that's inauthentic. You know, like, I got that. Yeah.
And there's a lot of shit out there. So I think that they're really just kind of basically pandering to the demands of people who want to be like clout chasing people with wearing these certain brands like Supreme right. or whatever it is. Now, yeah. That's the thing that they're missing the mark on for sure is like these actually, if you look through their options, it's like there's literally nothing that cool about these.
Well, I think
there's
that they're probably trying to get some partnerships with people.
Yeah.
And I hope like with brands, and I hope that the brands see the baloney behind this business in yeah. my personal opinion. I mean, I'm calling them out pretty hard. Who knows? This might be the most successful business yeah. beyond not just the most sustainable clothing company. It might be the most successful clothing company in the future. But in its current format, I am calling baloney.
Yeah, well, I think that there's a chance for them to kind of shift if they wanted to more towards NFTs. Now, who yeah. knows if they're actually going to do that? But I would say right now, I think that the idea, if I could just kind of summarize where the idea came from, is the sustainability of clothing has been an issue. The fashion world has been like, I think if like not one, two or three, like at least one of those every year is in terms of how much pollution it contributes to the world.
Yeah,
right. So if you're wanting to like change the retail world in general, how do you actually make the companies change and not produce hundreds of thousands of shoes with plastic and X, Y, and Z that right. are brand new out of China, right? Mm-hmm. How do you get Nike to stop? How do you get H&M to stop? How do you get Forever 21 to stop? Well, if like these pieces of clothing are just ephemeral and like people throw them away after a season or whatever, well then just let them wear it in one photo and then they don't have to throw it away anymore.
Right.
So I get the solution, like why? Because it really stems from consumer demand. Mm-hmm. For new things.
That's sad. That's sad to me.
And ownership of the physical items. Because like that's, to me, I think that's where the digital world does have potential to help with the sustainability of our earth.
Well,
is in terms of like less physical consumption of and overutilizing our natural resources.
I understand that. And I think that's a valid point. And yeah. I'm grateful that you're bringing that into the discussion. But I want to challenge your thought based on asking you this question. What are your feelings on if this company starts selling, rather than clothing items, they start selling bigger boobs or a new nose, and you pick the nose you want, and then you send it in, you paid $40 for a nose, and now you got a new nose. What are your thoughts on
that?
Well,
I think that the gap is like, okay, then I go see you and you don't have that nose. Like, it's super obvious. Like, you know, like, I mean, there's like, when you film someone without their control, them controlling it, instantly you're exposed. Like, what are you trying? They're hiding behind a facade, and that there's, you know, in the real deep sense, in the digital metaverse, you don't have to worry about that because you're an avatar and you can be whoever the hell you want to be. And no one actually ever has to know who you are. And so that's cool. Yeah. You know, that's different. You know, pseudonymity or that complete anonymity. But when you're in the real world and you're posing as yourself and you start taking pictures and people are seeing you and then they see you in real life and then you look totally different from how you actually looked on all of the stuff that you've been posting. I mean, we've all had that experience probably of like, definitely, dude, you definitely don't look like anything in your photos, right?
Celebrities.
I mean, the like, whether it's just the simple editing tools that iPhone comes with or Instagram or other deeper editing tools, you don't have to use Photoshop anymore to really make yourself look different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could put AR lenses on. You can also, you know, you can like complete, really, like you look at Snapchat, you look at what are the most commonly used lenses. They're the ones that like airbrush one's face so they don't have to wear makeup, you know. Like, there's even a feature on Zoom where you can actually have it like kind of be airbrushed so that it doesn't, like, it looks, it's not like it's pixelated, but you don't, like, it's removing your flaws.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's nothing new.
I know, but this is a company that's capitalizing on providing that service and marketing themselves not as that service. They're marketing themselves as a clothing company.
Well, look, honestly, if they get the customers, if there's demand for that, mm-hmm. that speaks a lot more to our state of humanity than anything else.
I mean, we could argue, like, what is clothing? What is clothing? You know, I mean, it kind of gets to that point. Like, does clothing have to be a physical item that you can wear on your body? Or can clothing be a drawing of a piece of clothing that we can Photoshop onto your body? What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, every piece of clothing usually started from a sketch, right? Mm-hmm. Or some sort of two-dimensional drawing, whether that was in the digital world or in the physical world.
100% agree, yeah.
Right? So, I mean, but I like but moving it from 2D to 3D is very, very different, I would say. Like, we really, when it comes to artistry, like, you can draw the most amazing, beautiful, like, dresses and whatnot and have the perfect model, and then you have to tailor that dress to make sure it fits and it flows right. There's like all mm-hmm. new things that come with a piece of clothing when it goes to become in the three, like, to be used in 3D world.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that, obviously someone could be able to, someone will be easily be able to find out whether or not a photo was actually Photoshopped and a piece of clothing was put on.
I looked at some of these pictures. They're pretty junk. Like, I wonder what the return policy is. If you're like, dude, that doesn't look like it's on my body, and I paid $35 for this, and it looks like I'm wearing a cartoon on top of my body. Like, what the heck, dude? Like, are they going to refund you? Are they going to re-edit it? Like, how's that work?
I have no idea. I think that, you know, the idea behind it of trying to make it a more, you know, a sustainable company of clothing is a good one.
Yeah.
Well, it's just not a good idea. I mean, it's like, I support wanting to make fashion more sustainable. Like, mm-hmm. go to the vintage shops, like, go to secondhand, like, don't buy brand new, you know, like, there's lots of things that you can do.
Right.
Swaps, you know, and whatnot, because you do need clothing in the real world. You can't be walking around naked out here. Right. So you do need some clothing. And if, you know, dressing appropriately in certain contexts is important to you as a person, and mm-hmm. it usually is to us all.
Yeah.
Well, then, okay, there are other ways to do it, but, you know, trying to come off as a clothing company when you're really actually a service for Photoshop is inauthentic from the get, right?
Exactly.
So that's, I think the issue that we both have with it.
I definitely have an issue. Yeah, is the inauthenticity not only of the people who are using the service, but the inauthenticity of the service itself.
Yeah.
Pretending it's a product business. Like,
honestly, I found it in a search for NFTs, and it's like, whoa, okay, how I had to like really kind of look through it, and it's like, this isn't actually what I thought it was.
Like, I do think clothing is real clothing if it's virtual reality clothing. Like, if you have ownership, maybe ownership is the key part.
That's what I'm saying. I think that the thing that they're missing is ownership, and they actually like, who would actually buy? Like, there's like one example. It's like a green blouse or whatever. Why would anyone, if you want someone to really feel like they want to own it.
Yeah.
It better be special. And they're not putting enough effort into making it special. And if it's to be an NFT,
mm-hmm.
well, then I want to know, like, you know, how many are there?
If they're going to do it in an NFT, I think it's a different discussion.
But well, the way I think that it has to do with ownership.
The format it is right now, it's like, it's very inauthentic. We're not investing into it. This is not financial advice. Go ahead and invest into it. I can't wait to see what happens. I'm curious. I am open-minded. But I will say that this is a very innovative business that just doesn't seem to be clicking for us as far as being the most sustainable clothing company. Can we agree with that?
Yeah, I agree. But that's not to say that people, you know, go out there and try to make more sustainable clothing that actually makes sense, I would say.
That's a good
you
way
know,
to put
I
it.
Would
yeah.
like, I mean, I think this is a really good mission for anyone who wants to be in retail. My question to you is, what are you going to do about the sustainability of fashion?
That's a good challenge.
That's a challenge for any one of you, my friends, who are actually wanting to be in fashion and retail or anything like that. So, yeah. You know, keep trying. There are ideas out there. We presented this one so that we can all kind of like learn from, yeah. you know, what they might have done right and what they might have done wrong. And in this case, they did more wrong than right. So,
in our humble opinion.
In our own opinions, yeah. And you guys can check them out and yeah. have your own opinions yourself. So we look forward to speaking with you tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.